Like it's go time. And that's what I tried to stress to the kids. And not kids, I like to refer to them as young men, but that's what I tried to express to them over the weekend, constant messaging, like we're here. A lot of our guys, fortunately enough, are coming off very successful seasons with their high school or prep schools. We're looking at it like Jesse McCullough and Jonas Nichols both won state titles in the state of Ohio, which I think that brings a tremendous amount of juice to us in our program and what we're going to do. And it was felt on Saturday where we did some scrimmaging, and those two look like no, we know how to win championships. We know what it takes, both offensively, defensively, which made them special in what they do.
During that scrimmage, what were some of the players that stood out to you? I don't know if you guys scrimmaged the 16U EYBL or 15U. However, what were some of those kids that stood out to you during that scrimmage? Because you guys had two practices now, last weekend and then this weekend. What were some of those kids that stood out to you?
Yeah, for us, it was, like I said, I already mentioned Jonas and I mentioned Jesse. They stood out for us. Unfortunately, Cannon Catchings didn't get to go that much just because of some nagging injuries where he'll be fine. But
Right.
we just did it out of precaution of sitting him down. But for me, Kier, who's a new addition to this group,
Yeah, where's he from? I've never heard of him. I saw him on the roster and I was looking forward to seeing him in Atlanta. But yeah, talk more about him for those that it's just finding out just like me about who he is.
So he's born in South Sudan. And then he and his family migrated to Australia, where he spent the bulk of his childhood through his teenage years. And then recently he came over to ISA Prep, which is over in Cleveland, Ohio. And for us, he's really good. He plays three through five, he does a lot of things. That won't show up on the stat sheet. His energy plays are unmarked. He's a great passer. He's a great facilitator on the offensive end. He's about 6'7", 6'8" in stature, but plays bigger than what he is. He gives maximum effort. He's one of those guys. He falls down, he's sprinting back into the play. So he, for us, is a great addition to what we want to do as a program. Also, not to mention, he has a brother who's at Cal State right now, but he's also looking to transfer. So he's familiar with American style basketball. He really knows how to space the floor, knows how to play within the offense, and knows how to make plays for others, which is very important, as you know, at this level, because oftentimes so many guys are just like ball dominant.
Right.
For him to want to get others involved and makes him special. And then the other new addition from this team that's also his teammate at ISA Prep is Dwayne Williams, by way of Baltimore. And Dwayne is really good, a really good shooter. He's got a lot of length to him, which helps us. And one thing that you'll notice about this team this year is while we may Jesse's being our biggest guy in stature, we're very long across the board, and it helps us a lot on defense and offense. It provides opportunity for us to be able to take advantage of mismatches on offense, and then on defense, it provides us opportunity to, switch, trap, do things that not many teams can do because, they may have a little guard here
Right.
that can't switch onto a big, but we can do that for a possession or two with these guys. And then since I'm speaking of new additions to this group, Tyler Bailey, who's at La Lemire, by way of North Carolina, a tremendous addition for us as well. He can play 1-2, and his leadership, what he brings to us, from that stability factor, is going to go a long way for us. And the six guys that we're bringing back, they
Right,
were
they're
a part
already
of that
molded.
team.
Yeah, they're already molded in our program. They know the expectation. When you talk to coaches who obviously want to be in the position that you're in, and as we break down the 17U roster, you would think we're talking automatically like college basketball, but we're only talking high school hoops. What's the message you give some of those coaches who ask you about what's it like being at the EYBL, but now you're at the forefront as the head coach? What's that message to the younger coaches who has aspirations to be where you at?
Yeah, no, my message has been, and it's something that I've kind of lived by, is always being willing to learn. Oftentimes as coaches, we get set in our ways, and what it is, whoever was our previous mentor, whoever made the best impact on us, we kind of try to mimic exactly what it is that they do. But one thing that I've tried to do is continue to learn, continue to try to go out to college practices, continue to build my relationships with coaches who made impact on me, and watch and see how they evolve. You're never going to know it all, but continue to want to learn, continue to read, not just, things on basketball. Yeah, that's easy, but leadership books, relationship books, and also learn how to maintain those relationships and cultivate those relationships with our kids and our young men, as I would say, because for me, it's bigger than just basketball. Yeah, we'll go out there and we'll compete and, God willing, make Peach Jam and so on and so forth. We have our team goals, but it really doesn't matter if you're not making an impact on what you on the young men that you're coaching. That really doesn't matter. So for me, it's always, I think the biggest thing is always continue to learn, rely on others to, give you information. You learn good and bad, I think, in my opinion. Like, I've learned just as much from the good as I've learned from the bad of that I've seen. So continue to evolve, continue to learn, continue to invest into yourself. So, like I said, it may cost you to have to go to a practice, or may cost you have to take off work to go to a practice, but those are just
The
things that you have to do
sacrifices.
to evolve.
Yeah, the
Yeah,
sack.
exactly.
What was that one game that stood out to you from last year that you could remember as if it happened yesterday? Whether that's losing to Mokan, playing against Team Final when Bron was there, and was it? Yeah, when Bron was there. But what was that game that really stood out to you from last year?
Yeah, for me, it was the team final game because, we had put ourselves in a position where it's like we lost to Oakland Soldiers, and it was like, okay, we need every game from here on out to advance out of pool play. And having played team final the prior week when we were in Kansas City and losing to them in a tight one, obviously we didn't have Jeremy Fears, but for us, there were just so much things that played into that game, whether it be the bickering between players or between coaching staffs or any of that. But to see our kids go out there and execute what we were doing and, being intentional at everything, I think that was probably one of our better games because everyone just wanted to win. It didn't matter how many points you had, didn't matter how many steals, rebounds, it's whatever winning play I can make. And it was winning play after winning play after winning play. And I can remember some teams coming in there who needed us to lose, seeing them cheer against us. And then they looking at their phone and saying, well, it is a point system. So if they beat them by this much points, then, we could still get in there. So seeing them switch from wanting us to lose to now wanting us to blow out team finals so that they could get into the get out of pool play. I thought that was huge for our guys to remain focused throughout that time because it was really easy for them to give up in that moment or to just let down their guard knowing that we had to win but continue to finish the game. So I think that team final game was probably the most impactful game for us, even though it was, right before we ended up playing Mokan.
In Elite Eight, I think we surprised a lot of people. I mean, had a hell of a unit, and we had a hell of a coaching staff. You, Ryan, Colin, and Jamal put those kids in positions to obviously be successful. But if you could just talk about being in that Elite Eight, going against Mokan, who ended up winning the EYBL, what did you say to yourself when you saw them win Peach Jam last year in 2022?
You saw early on with them, the thing that stood out is that they didn't have just one guy. A lot of the teams you see them, they have one or two guys. And they can be good this weekend, they can be bad next weekend. Mokan was consistent the entire time. They had a team atmosphere. We preach turn one down and we live by it occasionally. And but they live by that. They turn one down. They are always making the best play that they can make. And they were extremely deep. I think they played eight or nine guys that all could play and that fit into their system. Not to mention that their coach was probably, in my opinion, the best in terms of making adjustments throughout the game. He was unbelievable with that. You know, we came out in that game and we threw something different at them defensively, and they made the adjustments in the second half against us. And honestly, I just think we kind of ran out of gas because we needed to win our last three games. So our last three games were like pulling teeth the entire time prior to that game. But Mokan, it made sense. When I saw that they won, I was like, it makes sense. They were the best team, in my opinion, in EYBL last year.
Well, how do you put in perspective what the EYBL is? Because just be on the forefront, it's about wins and losses at the end of the day. Because you see teams that's no longer here that didn't win last year, right?
Right.
And, you know, I think this is the closest thing to college basketball. But how would you put it in your words what the EYBL is?
In my opinion, if you're not serious about wanting to develop as a coach or a player, this is not going to be the best fit for you because there's a lot that goes into it. Right now, I'm on the text chain with our coaching staff, and we're looking at teams that we're going to be playing this coming weekend.
We got Boo Williams, I believe.
Exactly. We got Boo Williams Mokan. First game, Mokan the second game. It doesn't get easy. You know, we got Oakland Soldiers, and then we're going to have the family. So, you know, you're coaching against a lot of guys who are former college coaches or very good high school coaches, on top of the fact that you're playing against players that are going to probably be considered for the NBA draft the following year after their freshman year of college. So for me, it's like you got to bring your lunch pail. It's a dog eat dog world, and no one has sympathy for you. No one cares that, okay, you need to win this game and they're already in the playoffs. That's not the approach. It's continued. Everybody wants to beat everybody. Everybody wants to put their foot on the neck. So for us, it was always important to continue to build our guys up, continue to develop them, because not only in the EYBL do you get to compete, but this is what it's going to be like for all of you guys when you get on the college campus. So we want to take it serious. So, yes, there is a curfew. Yes, there is going to be scouting reports and film prior to every game. Yes, we will hold you accountable to turnovers, bad shots, missed rebounds, missed defense assignments, because that's what the expectation is of you.
Yeah, absolutely. What's the team camaraderie like? It's been the past 2 weeks. You guys had mini camp last Saturday. Everyone in the Gym Rat community has been able to connect with one another. But then this past weekend at Spieth, you guys got to have workouts again. So what's that synergy been like?
It's been unbelievable. Like I said, we got those six guys that are returning from last year. So you got Cannon, Catchings, and Jesse, and Jalen, and Trent, and Micah. And you got, last name, and Jonas, returning from last year's group. So those guys had already built those relationships, and they, you know, were rooting for each other throughout the whole year, pulling for each other. So then you add in the additions. I think it's been really good for our guys to meet each other and to grow with each other and build those relationships. I think it's been really good. I think it's only going to get better. Obviously, we have our team chat, but you know, teams always want to exclude the coaches. So they have an additional chat.
They got the eternal private chat. Right,
exactly. But you just see everything, and even on Instagram or any social media in general, if one kid posts something that they have going on, the other one is going to repost that. I think they're pulling for each other. They believe in each other, just excited to be around each other. So I think the camaraderie is there, and I think it's going to show in our play this coming weekend and the entire forefront for us moving forward.
Well, that's big time. I'm excited, right? I mean, shoot. Atlanta's first stop, and then you got Phoenix, and then Dallas and Memphis. What if you could, in your own perfect world, how would you categorize your perfect four stops?
In terms of record, or
well, let's say state. If you could choose what destinations you want to go to, mine would be Orlando to relive going back to Florida, of course.
Oh, yeah, hands down, mine would be Orlando for sure. Just because it's Orlando and we're getting there in the time of year where up here we see what the weather is like. It was 80 last week and it could easily snow today.
I put on my boots today. Yeah, I put on my Doc Martens today.
Right. So I would say Orlando. I absolutely love the thought of Phoenix. I think that's great for us to get out to the West Coast, to be able to play out there for our kids to just experience a different time zone, different culture, to see things different, especially at this impactful age, for them. I think Indianapolis is the best. I think it's the best sports town, not because I live here, but
Right.
I really do. Everything is easy. You know, it has its pockets where you're at. Travel's easy in terms of flight. And I get to sleep in my own bed at night, which
Yeah.
is like the best part. And my son and daughter and wife can come out to the games. So I absolutely love that. And I am looking forward to Dallas and Memphis because those are two places I've been to. But you know, being able to take these guys there and experience different cultures, you know, you're gonna get some barbecue when we're in
Yeah,
Memphis
absolutely.
and in Dallas. You know, if we got enough downtime, who knows? We may ride past Cowboy Stadium or something. You never know. But those are the spots, places I would love for us to go. It's like LA.
Yeah,
You
we
know.
had that in 2011. We went to the LAX hangar.
Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
and that was one of my most memorable experiences playing in LA and that whole West Coast vibe. I got starstruck when I saw
Right.
Brandon Jennings, John Wall, DeMar DeRozan, just to name a few. Those guys,
Yeah.
I remember like it was yesterday. And Jerick Quarles, who's on the staff, was my coach with Betts and Sean Teague. You know, he would always get on me because I used to be starstruck. But you see your favorite basketball players walk in the gym and, you know, watching the guys you're competing now, and those guys are like OG. So
Yeah.
I'm excited for this upcoming EYBL session, and I'm rooting for you guys, of course. And I think we have the best social media media in general for the EYBL. And
Yeah.
one of my favorite socials is John Lucas. John
Yeah.
Lucas, JL3, their social media team is really good, and I give my flowers to them. But I think we're on the rise with our social, Avery.
No, our social media has been unbelievable. I mean, the photo shoot you guys put together for our guys on last week, constant being available for the guys if we need something, you know, it down through the years is like, hey, such and such is gonna be committing. Really doesn't have any artwork. Can we get something done? And you
Yeah.
guys is being flexible with us and showing that you're willing to do so. I think that's amazing. And one thing that you did touch on outside of social media, but having Jerick Quarles back, I mean, isn't that amazing to have him back with us
Yeah.
on the staff,
Super
having, you know,
knowledgeable, right? He's super
absolutely.
knowledgeable, really engaging. He's a people's person. He's a conversationalist. He checks
Yeah.
all the boxes of what you want as a assistant coach.
Yeah.
And I know he's pretty thrilled and excited because again, when he was coaching, it was just EYBL was a startup.
Yeah.
Now they give out tons of gear. Kids
Yeah.
are growing up to say, hey, we played against an EYBL team, or mom, how can I get on an EYBL team? So hearing those external conversations in the stands is like mind blowing to me because they only know me as the video guy. But I just remember when this thing was just a startup.
Right, absolutely. And that's the thing, you know, having him back and then returning with Jamal Howe and Colin Goward, what everyone on our staff brings is unique to what we need to win. I think it's one of the best staffs, EYBL. And I think we have traditionally had that, whether it been last year with Coach Owens being the head coach over those past 2 years, or where they have been with Coach Delaney and his staffs, or where they have been with Coach Klein and his staffs. I think our kids are getting top-notch coaching, which provides us opportunity to always be in the hunt every year. And I think that's really going, you know, on all of our staffs this year, whether it be with Austin on the 16s or be with Phil on the 15s, not to mention our red side, who I think has some of the best coaches in the game. So
Shout out
it's
to the
going to be
Conan and his
exciting.
crew. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's going to be an exciting year for Indy Heat across the board. No matter what level it is, our gym rats team, all of those, just seeing the time that, you know, Todd allows for our coaches to develop and allows for our players to develop. I just think we're in a bright spot. And not to mention we have the best director with Burks.
Yeah.
He's been phenomenal this year.
Shout
So
out to Burks, man. I know when I saw him yesterday, he was getting ready to make a rapid email blast to the parents and the
yeah.
staff, coordinating our upcoming events. And that's a tough job, right? Because
Yeah.
you're getting so many calls day to day. So many parents live in a false reality thinking their kid is an EYBL kid, where it's like it's essentially is a team sport. There's no
Right.
I in team, especially when it comes to the EYBL. And
Right.
naturally, whatever your role is in the EYBL, it's a higher percentage that's going to be your role when you get to college.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing. And one thing that I've told our guys is like, hey, don't worry about doing everything that you have to do for your high school team, because you more than likely were probably the best player on your high school team. Here, we're going to provide you the opportunity to be the best you and provide you the opportunity to be who you're going to be in college. You know, one thing that a college coach told me recently is like, we already know who you are. That's why we're here to watch you. We want to see how you react. We want to see how you are as a teammate. We want to see things that you do that impact the game, other than mostly, I mean, let's just call it what it is. Mostly everybody's a scorer. So what
Right.
do you do to impact the game outside of that? And I think our guys are going to step up to that challenge, and you'll really see that this week. I think every guy who can shoot it will be the best shooter that they can be. Every guy that can pass is going to be the best passer. Our rebounders will stand out because it's a lot of opportunity for rebounding, offensively and defensively. So it's going to be good for our guys.
Wrapping things up, Avery. What is not our players without being biased, but what some of those other players, if you could remember off the top of your head, who stood out to you or who you wouldn't mind seeing if you didn't have to be with the team in that particular moment?
Are you talking about this year or in the past?
In the past, you could say last year, is there any specific players that stood out to you?
I mean, Rob Dillon was unbelievable score. Like, I've never seen anyone be able to just like miss six straight shots and then make 12 straight shots,
Oh.
and have a whole gym in the palm of his hand. And then another player that I would go just 2 years ago, is Brandon Miller. I know it's easy to say now because he's gonna be a top three
Yeah,
pick.
he's a pro, but his frame is screaming. You could put him in any rotation and he'll fit in perfectly.
Right. And that was the thing. It was like, no, he can do what he wants and he's going to do what he wants. So how do we navigate that? I think, you know, when we played them, I was just like, this dude is different. I'm not one of those guys that can be like, oh, he's a pro, he's not. No, if that was the case, then I would be working for the Pacers. Like, I ain't got it
Right.
like that. But to see him play, I knew that I was like, okay, there's something to it that not many kids have, and you're not around that as often. So I say those two guys. Obviously, there's a ton more.
Right.
But, you know, I even think of guys that play for us, like Jeremy Fears. You know, his numbers some games will be outstanding, his numbers some games won't, but he was an impactful player, and you knew when he was in a game. Zane Dotti for us, who just committed to Ball State last night
Yeah,
after
shout out
having
to
to
Zane.
decommit from Valpo, his impact on winning was unmatched. And trying to sell people, they're like, well, does he score? Well, I don't know. Yeah, he can score it, but you're going to win when you have him. And it spoke. He won 33 games, state champion,
Yeah, undefeated
school record.
at Ben Davis.
Yeah, absolutely. So you have so many of those guys, and not to mention you run into those shooters or whoever it may be, you'd be like, no, it's just they got a little different
Right.
thing to
So
them. So.
with Fierce, he's a unique player. He checks the boxes of what you want from a point guard. And obviously you see him in the spectrum of a McDonald's All-American. You could say he's 6'1", right?
Yeah.
But when guards who have the aspirations to fill the shoes that Fierce did, what's some of those qualities you say that he has that can help these younger athletes at his height? And how important his position is. What's some of that advice you give these young guards coming up?
Let's just use this week for example. Jeremy would have found out who we're playing, and by today he would have been sending, hey, this guy's on the family, this guy's on this team. I played him when we were in the sixth grade. This is what he'd like to do then. Guess he's still doing that. Jeremy was an extension of a coach, which I think if you're really going to be a point guard, you have to be an extension of the coach. Whether you believe in the mission that he has or not, you
Right.
have to be an extension. Jeremy wins the game before the game, which means Jeremy was probably going to sleep every night by 10:30, 11 o'clock. He was, coach, I got to get back to the hotel. I got to take an ice bath. So then everyone else takes an ice bath. He's contagious. Everything that he does is contagious. He's a leader. He's a natural born communicator. That's what he does. You get on the elevator with him as a complete stranger. By the time you get to your room, you'll know everything you need to know about Jeremy, and he'll know everything he needs to know about you.
And he sets
Not to
the bar
mention,
high for a point guard.
he's
Again,
exactly.
when the kids be like, hey, you know, I want to be a point guard for the EYBL, I was like, well, you're gonna have to go up against a guy like Fierce day in and day out.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, he didn't care who you were. He could understand the mood of the team, so he knew where he needed to be. If it was a, you know, we had flat warm up, Jeremy's gonna be the first one to just start something in the game so that everyone can bring the energy to where his level is. He was so, in my, I can go on and on about him, but in my opinion, his impact on winning is bigger than what he does in the actual game. And not to mention, he's quick to tell me, like last year, Sam Arms got hot. And you know, I would call plays here and there, and he was quick to tell me basically, shut up.
That's dope.
shut up. I got it. Let's run this for him. So he's just impactful, man.
Yeah, so the young guards that's listening and have the aspirations to play in the EYBL, you got to know that you have to be vocal, you have to be the floor general, and you have to be the extension of the coach on the floor. And it starts when no one's looking. And I think Fierce was one of those kids who did a lot of behind the scenes work to see the finished product on why he was selected to be a McDonald's All-American. So that was pretty sweet to observe and cover in our program, and to watch a point guard get to where he's going to. It sets the bar high for up and coming young guards.
Yeah, it absolutely does. I mean, him wanting to get better makes everyone else want to get better. And you know, it was just when he's not around, you know he's not around.
Right.
So I think he sets the bar hard, and he can take coaching. I think that's probably the best thing I can tell anybody. If point guards, elite point guards, accept coaching, and
Right.
Jeremy accept coaching.
Last question, Coach. We got a minute left. What are the expectations for your team this EYBL season? And what are your goals that you have for Atlanta, win or lose?
Yeah, our expectations are continue to strive to get better day in and day out. We're not going to be perfect, and we know we're not going to be perfect, but we need to be able to control what we can control. So, you know, as coaches, we told them the other day, energy, effort, rebounding is not even up for negotiation, because that's the expectation. You're going to defend, you're going to rebound. But for us, our goals, you know, overall is to, we've been a consistent Elite Eight program. How do we make that next step? How do we get to the Final Four? How do we get to where we're playing on Sunday? So that's what our goal is, to get to Final Four and championship game. So our expectations for this weekend are that we're going to go out there and compete, and that, you know, we want to theoretically go 3-1 every weekend, you know, 2-2 worst case scenario every weekend, just because we understand how many games we need to win, but we also know we want to set the tone for what it is that we want to do.
Coach Avery, thank you for coming on the podcast, episode 180. This will be released.
180. Look at you.
Yeah,
Look
this
at
will
you. I
be
think I was
this.
on when you were like at 9 or
Yeah,
something.
top 50. Top 50
Yeah.
are in that top 75 category, but we're at
Yeah.
180. And again, it's consistency, man. And the program puts me around good people like you to talk hoops and basketball. And
Yeah.
thanks again for the flowers with the creative team, because you mentioned it earlier in the podcast. It's all about relationships, right? And communication
Yeah.
piece. I can't always be there physically, but the relationships that we have with up and coming kids who are in the creative space allows them to put us on their resume and also prepare them for college because of the responsibilities day
Yeah.
to day for a high level program like ours. So I appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Right. No doubt. Shout out to JJ Grace. Aaron from a couple years ago,
Yeah,
just
Michaela.
everyone that you have,
Yeah.
Michaela, just the willing workers and your leadership with them, like it's amazing, because now we're the older guys and gotta, you know, I
Yeah.
see what you put into learning how to
Talk to the
be a
kids.
leader,
Yeah, talk to the
and talk
kids.
to them
Yeah,
and
Gen Z
understand
language
them.
different. Yeah, Gen Z language is
Yeah.
different. It's a lot more patience. And
Yeah.
I tip my hat off to you, man, because these kids are emos in their own righteous way. They communicate
Yeah.
differently. And sometimes I just text them to get my point across because they don't know how to talk on the phone. So,
Right. Right. No,
yeah, I
making
appreciate you.
adjustments, changing who
Yeah.
you are for sure.
All right, Avery, I'm gonna send this
All right.
over to you, and I'll hit you later today.
No doubt. Appreciate
All
it,
right.
brother.
Yep.